Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 233 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good smile.
Got a new Pokemon shirt here for PAX.
Can we see it?
No, you should have watched the pre-show.
Even I missed that.
From Pink City.
Jabating.
Pink City.
Thanks for visiting Pink City. Please take this token as appreciation. It's a clothing thing that Grimecraft taught, showed me.
Oh, really?
Of course cool. He did. Of course
did.
Did
you buy the TV yet?
No, I didn't.
FM3 underscore himself, Fran Mirabella, is joining us.
What's
up,
everybody?
Top of the afternoon to you.
There you go.
Yeah. It is top of the afternoon.
Purple.
I know everybody's like impressed with it. It's not quite purple. Shirt that I'm wearing.
It's a royal purple.
It's
like nice. It's like Callus's purple.
Okay.
Twitch.tv/FM3_.
I love that.
Thank you so much, Twitch color, the Twitch wrapping.
I normally don't wear too much color. I realize now that people are surprised.
Yeah, impressed is the word.
Yes.
Impressed is the word. And rounding out the table, for the first time in a long time, all of us together.
Yeah.
Andrea, yes. Renee, how are you?
I'm excellent.
I feel like I haven't been on a show with you in
We've seen each other
years.
In passing, Hours. Like ships in the night.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's always been fun. Usually I'm sitting back there, I hear you high-heeling down the hall.
Yep, it's true.
I'm prepping
the pitter-patter of Andrew Renee.
But I do the yo.
Clickety-clacks, yeah.
You do the
exactly.
yo.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun stuff. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been preparing for my move to Los Angeles, which has been a lot of work.
Lots of support from friends.
Yes. I'm preparing for PAX West, which is happening at the end of the month. We're very excited about that. And then I'm going to see some video games. There's been a healthy amount of preview events happening over the last couple of weeks. I got to play a meaty portion of Borderlands 3 this week.
Woo!
And can talk about it on next week's show.
Ooh la la.
So August 14th is the embargo date, and they said we can publicly say that. So if you guys want to hear that, that'll be on...
Which date?
August 14th.
August 14th.
Is the embargo.
That's very soon. By the time this goes up, it's just a few days after.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to, Fran?
Really?
I can't even remember now. Just the usual, I guess, mm-hmm. work and streaming. And we did Gamescast last week, but I've been diving back into some games of yore. I went back to Borderlands 2, actually, because we've only got about a month till that's coming out. And I was at the end, and I'm like right there now. And I went back to Sea of Thieves. I was telling Greg.
Hey!
We'll have to get into that sometime.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I went back with the Destiny Community podcast crew, and they just barfed on me and put me in the brig. And like, it's that kind of game. But there's a lot, like, it has improved a lot. And then, I don't know if we're talking about it on the show at all, but Anthem dropped
the
game.
This is the Anthem.
Outside of that, I'm just enjoying the summer, getting a few extra hours in at the gym
Sun.
Yeah, a little bit of sun.
How many LBs you putting up on a daily basis?
How many LBs you putting up? Who tweeted out? I saw like a stupid meme of like, do you even lift? And it's like on the edge of Oreos, like the wrapper.
Nice.
It says lift.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty good one.
That is, it is. Andrew, you were talking about embargoes. We had a question that a Patreon user, 2038 Pokemon CEO, wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with. It says, do embargoes ever spoil games for you? They lay out what you can and can't talk about. Andrea, for games such as Destiny, do you sign without reading to prevent spoilers, or do you read through them beforehand for professional reasons?
You absolutely have to read through what you are signing. Mm. When it comes to spoilers, I guess technically, but generally what I've found is that the spoilers are pretty mild, but there are some people who are very much like, I don't want to know anything. I want to be completely surprised. I'm not one of those people. I don't mind getting some of the details. Obviously, I don't want like a major plot twist, but I've never been to a preview event where they've showed off like an earth-shattering twist, because they also don't want to put the potential for somebody who's at the event to spoil it for the audience either, right? Mm-hmm. So they usually don't ever show really major beats and stories. So.
Even with review embargoes, at least anyone that I've seen, I don't think they've ever been spoilery, like real spoilers. Like
they are.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like usually there'll be a point where it's just like, don't talk about after this thing, but they try to be vague about it.
PlayStation will give you very specific, very like details. It's hey, spoiler warning, whatever. On the next page is the stuff you absolutely cannot talk about, and you'll turn the page, and that's when it's like. Like, I remember for Spider-Man, they were very specific on what we couldn't say. I remember, this is Warner Brothers, but back with, when I reviewed Arkham Asylum, they were like, cool, you cannot talk about the Scarecrow stuff. And it was like, but the Scarecrow stuff is so awesome, right?
No footage to be shown.
Exactly, yeah. Like, they get into it, but like, for that kind of embargo, that's different than a preview embargo. Right. That kind of embargo, it is very much like, you're embargoed till this date, and there's a whole bunch of specifics. Cool. I will not look at the specifics till I've rolled credits. Yeah, once I've rolled credits, then I'll double back and look at it.
And they even give you a warning. They'll be like, don't read this page of the review guide.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. It's like, I feel like they're pretty good about not spoiling
it
for
you. They are. As a user. I haven't come across a single PR person in my entire career that did not appropriately warn about spoilers in a review guide.
But inevitably, depending on how picky you are, they're a spoiler in some way. Like, sometimes you're playing a slice of a level that's before the or after the intro, and like... That to some people, like me, I'm like, that doesn't bother me that much. It's like
it doesn't bother me either.
You skip the intro, but like for some people, they'd be like, oh no, I don't want any part of that.
And then you would just pass on attending that event if you really don't want to spend any time in the game ahead of launch.
There's been a ton of times that like Greg's like, hey, do you want to go see whatever game? I'm like, I don't
under no circumstances.
I'm just like, I want to play it.
If it's not intrinsic to what you're doing, you know, that you don't need to, then like that's probably the better. Thing, but otherwise, I was going to say, like, it's kind of your job when you get into this industry, and certainly, like, Barrett could tell you, man, he's probably been in some really tough situations where it's like, I need you to edit all this footage that we just grabbed from this preview event. And he's like, what? This is like my favorite game, and you're going to make me look. Like, we actually at IGN had worked. Right, you were there when we did it. We'd be like, can we find someone else? And sometimes, like, there's nobody available. You have to like cut this footage. And you're like, what? Like. It just happens, unfortunately, and especially if you're a video editor or gameplay producer or something, you really run into those situations. You just should be ready for it.
Yeah, it's like the one and then downside of this. Like when you go to
the one
down.
There's so many upsides.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to play it again.
There's been a couple recently where they were like, come down to LA and play multiple hours
of
this.
Like when we went to the Days Gone event. And we played like four hours of the game. And it's like, then you have to go back and play it all again.
Yeah. And even that, like, it was like God of War was the one that sucked a lot too. Where it's just like, oh man, this is so good. But it is also so linear, right? There's only so much I can do in this area that, like, I knew going in, you knew exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
This is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week we get together here, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, talk about video games, all things that we love about them. Patreon supporters at the silver membership or above, you get to watch the show live as we record it, or you can also get the show 3 days early, and most importantly, you get the full exclusive pre and post show. We play a little fun game today, the Twitter game.
I like that game.
It was good.
That was a lot of fun.
It was good. Who's the ultimate winner?
Only one way to find out.
Weed's the answer. You have to go back and figure out why. Shout out to our Patreon producers for this month, Tom Bach and James Hastings, two very stand-up gentlemen. I do say so myself. If you don't want to give any money, that's cool. You can wait till Monday. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. I'll have everything you need there. Also, RoosterTeeth.com and podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Gamescast. Keep it real simple. That's all you got to do.
It sounds so easy, Tim.
Mm-hmm. It is real easy.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Can we say... I don't know, this is embargoed information, especially for an audio listener. Mm-hmm. How good your hair looks.
Thank you.
This haircut is quite
it.
Nice.
It's looking real nice.
That's where I got it, guys.
Supercuts.
Hell yeah.
You know.
The good supercuts.
Trying to be supportive.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Also, I hate you so much.
I love it, though. Love it. Fran, speaking of you being a dick.
Whoa, good segue.
Anthem Cataclysm. Transition, yeah.
I've heard that. We can talk Anthem Cataclysm?
Yeah, let's talk
Anthem,
man.
I'm the only one who checked it out. Everybody else has been busy, right?
I wanted to. Like, it was that thing where when the announcement dropped this week and here's what's in the patch, and I was like, I read through it and I was like, oh, fuck, this actually sounds good.
Yeah.
But then it was just the thing that, I had a couple of other projects I needed to get through for games.
That's all right. I put some real time into it. I'd say it's like 5 or 6 hours, and it is a free content drop. So remember, if you bought Anthem, it's not like there's some season pass. Like, this is just new content. So if you bought it, like, number one, my quick... you know, message to you is if you bought Anthem and you liked either pieces of it, you liked the way it feels, like jump in and play the content because it's very directly accessible. The new event is Cataclysm. And what that means is there's a dedicated event, which is the Cataclysm, and it's time trials. And basically what you do is they've launched this whole new area, which is caught in this unstable storm of time and chaos. And I don't know what it is, but there's these stability pockets that you have to fly to and maintain your stability. So what you're doing is getting kills and finishing little puzzles. There's not like a ton of primary puzzles, but I understand the event actually might evolve over the next few weeks. So that part I'll have to check in on. But you like go in, for example, this isn't like a huge spoiler, I'm not going to be specific, but you fly into an area, you get it to be stable, there's a bunch of enemies, okay, we get it. But then there's like some areas that you just have to like go and press a button on, but you're getting beat up by enemies, and you know, it takes a moment because they don't tell you to do it. You just look around and you're like, oh, I should be doing this. But then it actually advances a little more. You go, if you remember in the game, you get these echoes that you fly into, and they're little orbs of energy that you got to deposit places. And you run into a situation where they're now trapped and locked in a place, and you're like, how do I unlock it? And then you're like, where do I put it? Because I'm in this old structure. So it starts to evolve like that, and you do have to work with a team, which I do find interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But that was the thing Anthem was always good at, right?
It's matchmaking only. Yeah.
Because Anthem was always good at, I'd start a mission and it would just spawn three people on.
Well, right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's a very important point to make, which is if you're going to try it, I would try it now. If you've been thinking about checking out Anthem, it's on sale in a lot of places for like 15, 20 bucks. Again, I gave it like a 6.8 out of 10 was where I put it, you know, before this content came out. And I liked the core of it. It feels good to fly around. I actually play on PC, but I play with a controller because it just feels so good. But anyway, I'm going back to matchmaking. Now might be the time to look into that if you're either you own it or thinking of picking it up, because I don't know how long the community will be partaking in this. Sure. The event sort of just came out of nowhere. I don't think they had been specific about the date.
Mm-mm.
The content actually had been sitting in the PC PTS for a while.
Yeah.
So I know some of the hardcore fans had already spent like 100 hours with a lot of this stuff, and I don't know how much it got tweaked. But anyway, so time trials event, that is from easy all the way up through Grandmaster 3. So it's got all the levels. I was at, you know, 700 plus javelin, which means Grandmaster 2 is like a good spot to be in. It's difficult without being like crazy, which is what Grandmaster 3 is. And your rewards are better. So anyway, there's that event. They actually added new story content.
Okay.
So they evolved the story a little bit. You know, one of the main characters that we remember asking about, like, what happened? Like, I feel like we didn't interact with this guy very much. And again, it's not a major spoiler, but I don't even know if it is. But anyway, you go on about three missions, which are actually, you know, I would say well-paced gameplay with a few cutscenes, and it culminates in a bigger, actually high-production cutscene. So they spent some real time on this, and then they added public events to the free play that spawn every 20 minutes. The motorcycles are on our end. So every 20 minutes or so, it's actually on a timer. You hop in a free play and you mark it. So right away you can see you've got 16 minutes. You can like, I'll come back another time, or you can hang out, play free play. But a gate opens up. And again, it's an encouraged matchmaking event. So that's why I'd say try it now. I'm a little concerned that, I guess if you play it on easy, it might be, you know, a lot easier. But you go in and you're basically destroying these crystals that appear in there. But to do it, you're on a timer. So everything, it seems very like time-based, a lot of stuff that's going on. Okay, so now you might also ask, well, I've got all this stuff, but what am I going to get for this? Like, you know, I can play new content, and I mean, I think that's all well and good, but why am I doing it? There are new drops. So one point of interest is, if you remember way back, there was this Jara's Wrath, I think it was in the demo from like 2018 or 2017 or something like that. It was a named gun that like never transpired. I don't know if it was planned to be what it is, but it's actually in the game now. So there's a new named gun. There's another one beyond that. So there's a Voltcaster and a pulse, voltage pulse or something. So there's two new styles of weapons that are pretty rare. I haven't gotten them, but I saw them. If you look in the content, they give you a preview of them. So there's that. And there's also, this is the big thing they changed. They have a seasonal store. So it's really interesting the way that they did this is that these events, what you get out of them are minor crystals or major crystals. I know it might sound a little weird, but it's really that simple. You get crystals from the event, and you use crystals in the store. So it's just like shards. There was already shards in the game, but you're earning them just through doing Cataclysm event stuff. So you don't have to do any of this other stuff. I don't know if you have to have made it through a certain point in the story, because I'm already there. Was everybody laughing all
the time? I need Kevin to either full-on laugh or stop ghost laughing. Because just the... You're like, it's killing me. It's killing me.
I was like, what did I say? If it's you're listening, I didn't always, even catch Kevin was
it's
like.
It's always the extreme complexity of this shit where it's like, well, you have crystals.
You're very, yeah, you're very in the crystals. Weeds for people who don't play or have not played Anthem.
But that's what got me too.
I'm sorry. I was trying not to laugh.
All right. Maybe I'm getting in the weeds. That's okay to call me out on.
Hey, yeah. No, it's a Gamescast.
You,
get there.
It's this simple. You
no,
get.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We just sit here and go, we like it or we don't like it. That's a short show.
You earn crystals. Which is your currency, and you just take it to the store. You can buy new skins. You can buy some new animations. You can buy some other stuff with
let's,
that. But
let's
it's strictly
talk about
the
store.
Store. Yes.
Did they fix the store? Is the store better?
Store is the exact same.
Boom.
That is the featured store. So this is now the seasonal store. So that's what I'm saying.
There's a separate store. There's featured store and then
totally
seasonal.
Separate. Doesn't use your coins.
It's like Spirit.
They literally unplugged for this event, and that's what I think they're trying to do is be like, you know what? This whole other stuff, like we did it, we've got it. Now we're just gonna have a seasonal store. If you come back and play, you can play on easy mode. That's what I was getting at. I think you can hop into this stuff as long as you have free play open, because everything else is just like, well, other than these missions, I assume those missions that came up, you have to have beaten the game because yeah, they're story based. But I think you can hop into free play or go into this Cataclysm event regardless of how far you've gotten. And so anyway, you hop in, get some crystals and earn some stuff. There's no like weapons and stuff. Again, it's like skins and paint and material. I want some of those skins.
It's a specific currency out of this event.
It's just crystals from the event. Yeah, so it makes it really easy. You're not
so
confused.
It's like Heatwave in Division 2 where I'm getting the Heatwave apparel cash keys.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a loot box
it's
system,
very similar to that. Yeah, it's almost like key fragments or cash
gotcha.
Keys
cool,
just
cool.
for that event. Destiny does the same type of thing. So
I heard they did away with luck too, right? The luck slot is gone on all the armor.
Did they? I actually didn't. I got to read all the stuff they've changed
in the
last time.
The report
it's,
they put out.
Yeah, it's really, really large.
They have, and also if you've been wondering about Anthem and not keeping up, even like myself, who's played a ton, who's reviewed it, they've been like slowly patching out some stuff, right? It
oh,
doesn't
sure.
have the loading issues it has. They actually changed the loading screens. They have more of an image on them now. I know that seems simple, but like little
I
things.
I mean, these
like,
are the things that were screwing it up, right?
Yeah, it just made it look like it was saying forever. It was like a black screen with nothing happening.
We've talked about it on Games Daily when the updates come, right? Since we've like launched right now, you no longer have to go back to the main screen to go back to the forge. You,
that's
after
right.
a mission,
so
you can
now,
go right into another mission. You don't have to sit
right.
around.
So when you finish the mission and they pile all your experience, yeah, what you used to have to do was like go back to Fort Tarsis, I believe. You couldn't go into orbit or anything, and then you would decide. But now it's literally all on the bottom. Do you want to go to your, you know, do you want to go to the vault or the what's it called?
The
public
forge.
Space.
No.
There's Fort Tarsis
oh,
and the other.
I
the
know
space...
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the
space something. Anyway, it's the public space. Go back to it. So yeah, it's all right there at your fingertips. Or you say, I want to play another mission. It kicks you right back to that screen right away and you decide. Anyway, the short of it is, I played about 5 or 6 hours. I enjoyed it as someone who enjoys the core of Anthem. I was like, yeah, like actually it's nice to come back. I was grinding out so much Destiny. It's a big Solstice event, different topic. My eyeballs were like bleeding, and I still have like 10 hours to go doing the same.
Are you ready to go back
old to Destiny?
Yeah.
No, like I don't. I'm like I really want that gear, and that's why you.
But like you're like I got to do it.
It's
10 more
doing
hours
old
to
stuff,
get the
man.
Gear.
Like
it's yeah. I'm only on the green set, like, and it's just like it's frustrating how repetitive they've made it once again. And it's like it's fun for like the first like. 10 to 20
you
hours.
You relive the past.
And then you get to the very end and you're like, okay, now this just feels punishing for the sake of it being punishing.
Do you think
it
they're doing
rare.
That just as kind of a stopgap to like have people have something
Destiny?
To do for, yeah.
Yeah,
for
they
now.
Do it every year,
yeah.
so.
Until Shadowkeep comes out, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, it's a rare set. Nobody's forcing it on you. You
exactly.
gotta get railroaded into it.
Mm-hmm.
Back
pre-show.
To the pre-show, you gotta watch. But
Dwayne,
right, you don't have to
Johnson.
Do this. It's there's nothing special about the gear even.
No, what's,
I mean, there is
what's
a little
frustrating
bit.
For me, particularly as a hunter, is like so much of the gear is god awful ugly. It's just poorly designed as far
most
as aesthetics go. Like aesthetically not pleasing. And hunters are all about looking fancy because
okay.
we got fancy capes. Okay? It's a thing. And this gear, the Solstice gear, was my favorite piece of armor from all of the last 12 months of Destiny.
Oh, the last set.
The resplendent stuff
yeah.
from last Solstice
oh
event. I infused that way more than I should have because it's an old piece
yeah,
of armor. It doesn't
use,
have all the new buffs and
yeah,
things that
really
and the mods
have,
and stuff.
It's
right.
Beautiful.
So it's been in my vault for the last couple of months because I was like, okay, I have to stop using my resources on this. There's going to be a new set. And the new set, of course, is beautiful, but they make it... so incredibly painful to get. And I'm like, I'm frustrated. I'm glad
yeah,
that you can buy the glow now outright with actual silver and you don't have to grind for Bright Dust for that. That's nice. But you can't
glow.
Use it if you don't have the armor to put the glow in.
Right? This is just the games that we put. Destiny and Anthem, you know, it's certainly Destiny has so many different currencies. But to finish the since we had to mention it, Destiny topic, if you were curious about all that Solstice gear and don't know it, it carries forward in a Shadowkeep. That's why people are like, I gotta get this. There's armor 2.0, and it's a big change. And so this is the only set of armor that we're still aware of right now that's going to carry forward. You'll go pick up a new set, which you can upgrade and have. The reason I say it may not be worth it is, like, so is all the other gear. And there's all this new gear you're going to want. And this is what happens to Destiny players is you do all this for, like, 25 hours or 50 hours. And then you get to the new thing. Like you're saying, you're like, it just sits in your vault. But you're like, I got it. But I literally joke
mission accomplished.
I joke on stream.
But they have the transmog is coming.
Yeah, well, that's it. So you can wear. So this is the second point. But let me finish the first one, which was I joke a lot about people who come in and be like, are you getting all three sets? And I was like, you know, I want them. But I'm like, why are we doing this for these reasons? I'm like, does anybody come up to you, like even as streaming, like it doesn't even happen in the chat, but they're like, do they say, hey, dude, can you show me all three sets? Like, right, I want to look at them. Do you have them? Like, it never is a topic of conversation. I mean, even when you wear this stuff, it's not like anybody's like looking around you like, oh my God, like, because they either got it or it's a personal achievement. It's like platinums, actually.
Sure.
It's a bit like that. So, and then, as Andrew is saying, the cool part is you can wear this gear, the look of it, on all the other stuff. And that's probably the biggest reason to get it.
Yeah.
If you got transmog coming, that's great, because that was such a big deal for any game like this where you have pieces of gear that you love, then you get something way better. Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and this is even better because look like a goon. It's not a cost. It's a costume. So basically, as the ornaments, you just apply. So I might have this, for all we know, you might have a really messed up armor set, and you're like, you know what? I got this ornament. I'm going to put the whole thing on so you can't tell that I'm, you know, ugly gear I got underneath. And people be like, where's that from? And you're like, sorry, pal, that was last August. So that's why you
do this. Fuck you, Tim. You'll never get that gear.
Tim's so disappointed that we do.
No, I'm not. This, right? I'm, honestly, I'm only laughing at Kevin laughing. Like, it's killing
me. I'm so proud of. I didn't hear a single. I tune him out so much. And it actually is. I'm sorry, Kevin. It's become a problem.
You're not sorry, though.
No, you should. You should. I laugh at you a lot. Like, a lot.
It's become a problem, I think, on Games Daily where stuff's happening sometimes. And then I'll find out after they're like, dude, like, you totally were ignoring Kevin. I'm like, I didn't even know I was. Like, I'm here.
My favorite one is after the little ones he was doing, we call him on it. There was a section where he went, oh, where he was actually like, something interested in him. He's got like these great non-verbals.
All right.
Killing it over there, bud.
Putting a cap in Anthem. The Franthem. I can't believe you didn't even say Franthem.
He did.
I immediately said it.
Actually,
we have Cataclysm in too.
Just one by one, you go down and tune us all out.
Anyway, I would highly recommend going back, and I would love you guys' opinion to make this a little more of a discussion. Does that sound interesting? But also for the people that heard all the negativity, the loading issues, which has been solved, the end game only goes so far. There's only so much grind, and not a ton of that has changed. Like I said, there's some newer stuff in here. Do you guys... on both questions. One, do you want to maybe come back and try it? And for the people who never tried it, especially for $15-$20, how do you feel about them recommending it?
I definitely want to spend more time in it. You know, I completed the main campaign and did some of the post-game or in-game grinding stuff, but then I got, you know, it was just like, we just kept running into a wall, and I got super frustrated by the lack of options of ways to spend the stuff I was grinding for.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you and I have done our fair share of bitching about Destiny's store, but, like, at least now there's a ton of stuff you can buy with your assets and your resources. And in Anthem, my biggest gripe was, like, they're like, here's this one thing you can buy.
There's
and then
more.
Like, and then the way that it was bugged with if you had a custom armor set, you couldn't see your pilot's face in the cutscenes. You could only see your pilot's face if you had the default armor set on, and you never get to see your pilot otherwise. You only get to see them in specific cutscenes, and then if you had the specialized gear, which is what you're supposed to want to get, the cutscenes were bugged, and I was just
They fixed that, so you see your specialized gear now, but not the face, I don't think. But anyway, there's more in the store, but it's just like skins. Yeah. I mean, they're okay. It's nothing like, oh my God. Like, Destiny has done a pretty good job.
Like,
I think.
Vinyls, you mean?
Really? Yeah. Well, the vinyls are the stickers. And then what's the full set of, like, it's not new armor. Yeah, you're right. It's, I guess it is just a full vinyl, but it's like a fully themed paint job. Maybe it's a paint job.
Yeah.
But anyway, they've got some, like, good-looking stuff in there now, actually, quite a bit, that rotates through stuff. But it's not, like, it's nothing like Destiny or even Division, which has, like, so much
I think
content.
The loading changes will make a huge difference going back, because it was incredibly frustrating to have to go to Fort Tarsus and then go into the Forge whenever you wanted to change anything about your loadout. I was like, why can't I switch guns in the field?
Yeah, and you can switch it in the field. I didn't even mention that, but that was a huge topic. But you literally just press start and go to your Forge. You can change a gun in the game and it or an ability, and it recharges right away. I'm like, wow, this is like magic if you played Anthem on the early days.
My thing about it is I enjoyed, like we talked about at the launch, I enjoyed the core gameplay of Anthem. I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. I had the complaints of the loading stuff. The problem is, though, that when I put it down, I haven't felt the call back to it.
Yeah.
And then I read the thing, I was like, wow, this all sounds really interesting. It seems like something I'd want to get into. But I also don't feel like grinding in another game, right? Yeah, I feel like the Division's already there. We're going to talk about another game coming up. Then their Borderlands is on the horizon. Right. I mean, there's a million different games I want to get hours and hours into. So I don't know if me jumping in for two nights with Anthem's worth it.
Yeah, and I said this to you the other day. And I was not just trying to get you to play it because I was going to be on the show. It literally is. You can spend an hour and that's it. You just get some crystals and that's it. There's no grinding that you have to do right now, which is funny because I think that's what people want. I think that's the problem. Like, I do want these guns I mentioned.
They want the Solstice event.
We have that and more, though. You want what you were getting at, which is, what armor are you chasing? You know, like, there are some stronghold sets and there's some stuff out there, but it just doesn't have that image. So this is actually much more casual for lack of a better way to put it. You can play it hard on harder stuff and it needs teamwork. But, like, trust me, it would be fun just to, like, hop in and do the event. You and I, like, if you hadn't experienced it.
Maybe two.
Exactly. But just hop in and play it. It's not like you hop in and you're like, dang, now I got, like, 7 hours to play. It's not that at all.
Yeah.
It's very casual. It's like a Saturday morning. You know, I played for 90 minutes. Oh, it was. This is what
I don't feel like that's what Anthem needs necessarily,
it's
right?
It's probably not it needs.
It's what you're talking about. Of like, do you need a 90-minute reason to turn it on? No, you need a reason to turn it on.
You want
week
like
after
a 30-hour reason to turn it on.
Right? Yeah, it's what you're talking about. If you're not going to be there and if you do this in 3 weeks, is there going to be an audience still playing it where you can get in with them?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of like weird puzzles, and they're very much community puzzles to figure out in this event, by the way.
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting, but that's going to be so niche of people who are I tried to figure some stuff out myself. You fly around in that storm. You only have so much time in the storm before you got to do this other stuff. And I hit a wall after about, it was like an hour maybe. I was like, this is going to take like some serious coordination and time. And I appreciate that's in there, but that's not like the 30-hour grind you're talking about.
Yeah.
It needed more strongholds. It needs even more just missions and guns and stuff. But it's a nice prelude to if they continue down the path. I still like the core of what's there. Has some potential. The gameplay combat's probably the biggest thing I think still needs work. Just fighting those little Dominion soldiers just feels like beating up army men. It just doesn't feel right. But
you're always beating them up to get your big move, right? That was always the
thing. Well, yeah, your big ultimate or whatever. But meaning fighting the big bosses by far. If you remember that Hive Spider, Hive Tyrant, crit spots. Like, that's what they need in this game is a lot more of that. And that way you're really pressed to use your abilities.
Sure.
Like, in Division, it's like the freakers who run at you or whatever, that you kill them right away. They're not that interesting. It's when the bigger dudes come out.
Sure, there needs to be a strategy.
Needs to be a lot more of that.
But to your second question is, I don't think, this is enough to bring people in, even if it's at $15-$20.
Yeah.
I think that the name Anthem is so tainted that I don't think adding in a cool event and doing all these fixes is enough right there. I think when they get to their next big patch and it is, here's 5 hours of content and like why it's really great. Yeah.
That's what's missing too, is like I haven't heard any talk of like that's
what the roadmap
what's next,
is.
You know, and if you like this, look forward to, you know, December. Like
I think it's good that they're quiet. I think they need to be dark for a while. They need to let the ill will settle.
Oh yeah.
You know, if we compare it a lot to something like No Man's Sky, which had like a very tumultuous launch. They went quiet for a long time and then came back and were like, we've completely, you know, overhauled what we wanted to do in the beginning and now we have it. And then they were able to reinvigorate their community. And I think Anthem has the potential because the bones of Anthem are really good. They just didn't, you know, fully flesh out that skeleton, right?
Yeah.
So once they tinker a little bit and, you know, get all the little bits and pieces inside and get it ready to go.
It's there. It just needs more of that content. I mean, you were right. They went dark on this one. That's why it dropped out of the blue. And that was the first thought I had, which was like, I'm glad they did this because they kept teasing this. All you
They're
is toxicity.
They're setting up expectations, yeah.
And then people are let down. Like, literally just put it out there. If people like it, they'll talk about it. Here we are.
Yeah.
I would recommend trying it if you have it. Counter to what Greg said, for $15-$20, playing the different javelins, that was one of my favorite things in Anthem. Nothing else really plays like it. So again, if you want to try it on that merit, never mind that it's maybe not at the grind or your expectations so high you think it should be Destiny or Division, it's less about that. If you just want to try it, I do think it's worth the value now to like hop in and check it out.
That wasn't my thing.
I just meant is the other side of it, which is, yeah, I don't think it's going to bring in a ton of community all of a sudden. We'll see how much it reinvigorates it at the low level, but I would recommend checking out for that. Like, if you don't have anything else to play, those javelins, there's so much production in them. I thought that was the best part. Just flying around.
Flying feels so good in there.
And each javelin is so different. It's really
I did
impressive.
Like fighting the enemies, I remember, because you have to use your combos to build up your
meter. Yeah, so there's something there.
You guys, man. I just don't understand. With Destiny, with Anthem, all this is grinding. Like, just get these things that don't matter at all.
Okay,
Nintendo added a whole bunch of spirits to Smash Brothers, and I got them all.
Hey!
Dragon Warrior spirits are there, baby. Yeah. No, Transition.
I knew that must have been the tag team.
Yeah, no, they added the new DLC. So Smash 4.0 comes with Hero from Dragon Quest, whatever. All the different alt costumes are all the mainline characters from the games, all that stuff. And with that comes a new set of spirits. On top of the Dragon Warrior spirits, there was also a couple new ones that I didn't know they were going to add. Like, there was a couple Labo ones and, like, some things that have happened, like, in between in Nintendo world in the last couple months. So that was cool to get in. It was a good reason to get back in. And I've been away from this bullshit long enough that it's like, oh, you know what? Like, it is kind of fun. And it was a good way to get introduced to the new Is it Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior here? Dragon Quest.
It's Dragon Quest. They just did across the board as Dragon Quest now, right?
Yeah. Great.
It used to be Dragon Warrior here, and then I think it's just Dragon Quest everywhere now.
It's Dragon Quest everywhere.
When I first played it, I played Dragon Warrior, so I always get messed up.
Yeah.
Dragon Erdrick's Quest, the new elements that they added in Smash from it, like doing the spirit stuff is a good way to kind of get familiarized with the music and with the character itself and with the new stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just cool. Smash, there's so much love and care put into all of it. And this one, there's a lot more music as a Square rep than they did with Final Fantasy,
really?
Which was really, really disappointing.
It's
only two
cool
Final Fantasy songs in the whole game. What the fuck, guys?
But
bad decision.
Are you saying this added a lot of like Dragon Quest?
There's a ton of Dragon Quest music.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
that's
so
really cool.
That stuff's cool.
How's the stage?
The stage is fine. I feel like it's a little uninspired, but like it reminds me a lot of the kind of more of a mix between like the look of the Xenoblade stage and the layout. It's a more simple layout. It's fine. It's whatever. I'm also not a Dragon Quest guy.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of the stuff is over my head. But I do enjoy
The slimes
that they exist. They're there, Greg. You'll be stoked
Quest
to know that they're there. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about this in Anthem that the new stuff and like the event that they're trying to get you to do is a separate store, right?
Oh,
you were saying
yeah, exactly.
For the spirits, for the DLC stuff, there's a DLC spirit board, so it's totally separate, so you're not going through the grind of having to find these things. It's just, it's all there, a lot of the randomization's out, like it is a bit more dialed in. It's like special missions that you're doing that are super dialed in to be very fan servicey to Dragon Quest, all of those, and like in the same way they did for Joker, they will do for Banjo, and so on and so on.
These are just spirit adventures, though, right?
Just like, spirit mode stuff.
Are they any new stage areas? It's all the old areas.
Well, there's one new stage. There's a Dragon
the stage,
Quest
but in
stage.
Other words, like when you do the adventures, you know, you go through all those
classic
map
mode. So, yeah. Oh, you're talking about World
I'm
of Light?
I'm talking about the World of Light, I guess.
There's
so
no new World of Light.
I thought
stuff
that's how
DLC.
You had to get the spirits.
Let's not worth getting into, but like World of Light was the adventure mode that you get a ton of spirits from, and there's a story about spirits,
right?
But there's also
the
spirit board,
right?
Which is that the DLC has a DLC spirit board.
Gotcha. And it's funny, I did some of the spirit board,
no story elements,
but I forgot that like, apparently you don't only have to go to the adventure mode to get
the adventure mode
stuff.
Gets that's you like maybe okay. a third.
Oh no, that's
of
right.
Spirit
modes, you just challenge the player.
It's like
right,
what used to be called event mode is now spirit board.
Okay,
worse.
But the best parts about it seem to be
so. It's just cool. It's just more fun stuff to do, and I feel like they did this with Joker as well. But they do a good job of giving you an opportunity to play all the new stuff in a very concise, quick, easy way. And playing through classic mode as hero, that's how I usually like to play new characters, just to see what they did different. And the cool thing about Smash Classic mode is every character has its own path. Like, they make a story based on the characters you fight, and it is based on the Dragon Quest games. It's cool. Like, you fight the Monster Hunter Rathalos.
Nailed it.
And it's like midway through, so it's just like they change up the order and stuff, and it's just dumb little things. And I'm like, cool. Little differences make me happy doing this. And the character itself, I can't wrap my head around yet. Like, a lot of the DLC characters, they're really weird. Not even DLC. The newer characters they've added in the last, like, two iterations of the game. I feel like a lot of them have a real emphasis on having a gimmick. Like, Little Mac, right? He has his, the KO meter, that no other character has. Yeah. And then
Joker.
With Joker, it's like it levels up eventually and you get the Persona thing that, like, powers you
Persona!
Up.
Persona!
But with Dragon, with Hero, his down B is it. Turn-based RPG style menu.
Really?
And it's a randomized set of four different moves. And you actually use MP for any move that you do. And your MP, like, it comes back over time. So he's a very strategic character that can be very strong, but you need to make sure that you're using this at the right time, because if you use your strong spell, you need to wait before you can attack at all again.
How many MP moves are there? Is it just one?
It seems like all the moves use some level of MP. But when you use your down B, it pulls up an actual, like, your whole little face and, like, percent damage and stuff goes away, and it turns into a, like, turn-based.
But what do you,
like,
select after you press down B, in other words?
Different spells. So it's like four randomized things. So every time when you hit down B, it's four different things will come up.
You only can pick the one that comes up.
You get to pick one of the four out of, like, I want to say there's 12 different ones that'll pop up. So some random combination of those come up. And it's cool. It's such a good way of adding the game's characteristics to the character and making it feel totally different than any character we've seen in Smash before.
That, for me, is what makes Smash so great. Like, everything from the music to just the thematic stuff they do, and getting, no game has, you know, Mario and Dragon Quest and Joker, all this stuff in one place, but they do such a good job with it. It doesn't seem like just a skin, you know, and it's really cool. Was this pay for content? Yep. It's Season Pass, right?
Yeah, it's paid.
But
that's the only way you can get it, right? You can't do piecemeal. You had to buy the pass.
Yeah, you can buy piecemeal. You can buy the character packs piecemeal.
So I was going to ask, aren't they like $5 or something?
It's something like that. But you can also buy the Challenger pack or whatever the hell it is, and you're gonna get all of it.
Gotcha.
All the DLC, all the costumes, and all that stuff. But anyway, love it. Don't need to go on too much longer about that. But they're continuing to do a great job. Banjo's next. Let's fucking go, boys. We did it.
Really? Banjo's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah. Real exciting stuff. But yeah, you guys.
I gotta get back into it.
You just have your bullshit with your Destiny.
No, I love Grand Smash
Anthem,
Brothers.
Blah, blah, blah. I have my spirits and
you guys
shit.
Are fucking dorks.
At least Greg Miller's here, and he doesn't have any bullshit he does.
That's smart sometimes.
Can you tell me about Mochi Mochi Boy and Bouncy Bullets?
Sure, Tim. So, as you know, I got my 100th Platinum. That's why I drink out of the PlayStation Platinum Trophy Chalister. Thank you, Fran. Thank you very much. Got in Division. Andrea noted you didn't clap. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin. And Fran, you're on the good list. Everybody else,
that's what I think about your trophies.
And so there was a lot of debate, Tim, of what would be Platinum 101, 102, 103. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what, the subreddit on fire about it. They wanted to know all about it and stuff. And so, of course, I did what you'd expect me to do and just took a bunch of cheap Platinums I had sitting. Because I'm stacked up fat fucking cheap ass Platinums ready to go 1,000, on my PlayStation 4. Yeah, right. So, yeah, sitting there this weekend, I was getting ready to play Borderlands 2. The DLC. I want to get ready for Borderlands 3, and Jen was playing with me, or about to play with me. So I had it set up on the big screen for her, and then I was using that games case, that new Guardian XP one we got, the big metal case that we unboxed on Instagram. Let me tell you, that thing, so beautiful. That screen is so gorgeous. Like, my screen is so bad, right, Kevin? But also the game screen I have before this, not the case.
Did you buy the TV?
No, I didn't. I'm talking to Jen still. Oh, I haven't talked to Jen about it. This is a marriage. It's a two-way street. This is a two-way street. And the little game screen I have that I bought for forever ago, it still works great. It just doesn't have that great a picture quality, which isn't a big deal for me. But then looking at this giant games case with all the USB ports and stuff, I was like, fuck.
Do you have details on what that screen is?
Yeah, we in the unboxing we did and stuff.
Okay.
It's what?
1440p.
Oh, really?
1440, yeah.
2K, basically.
Beautiful. Great. Love it very much. Anyways, that was great. Borderlands, we didn't get too much time with this weekend. She got called into work, but we did play a bunch. I'm excited to finish it. Just more excited for Borderlands 3. However, when Jen got called into work, there was that moment of, how long is she going to be on the phone? And, like, we're playing Borderlands, so it's like, I don't know. I know what I'll do. I'll just knock out some Garbo Platinums. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I played some Garbo games. So Bouncing Bullets, of course, or is it Bouncy Bullets?
Bouncy Bullets.
Bouncy Bullets. One of these Rattalika games. So is the other one, Mochi Mochi or whatever.
Mochi Mochi Boy.
Kevin, you can go ahead and prep the Mochi Mochi Boy one. Bouncy I'm Bullets. Bouncy Bullets won't look as bad as it actually is, where it's a first-person shooter where you have... pink bullets and yellow bullets, and you have to shoot the corresponding enemy with the right color thing. If it's a black one, you can hit him with you can hit him with anything, but you have to bounce the bullet off the ground. You also have to be careful, because if your bullets bounce back and hit you, you'll get hurt or whatever. And boof, man, this is one that took me to limit. Where it's a very short platinum, but for real, I was like, the first person platforming. Don't show this yet, okay, Kevin? Don't let him see it. The platforming. is so garbage in this first-person game for Bouncy Bullets, right? That I was just like, I thought about quitting, and I was like, you know what? I've already come this far. There's only a couple more levels left till I have the platinum. I might as well do it. So I powered through, but just big old piece of Garbo game. And that's the thing. We talked about it before. Another one I did was Metagal, which is I did the European version. We've talked about this before. Remember, this is the game that's like Mega Man that actually got me to go download the Mega Man games and isn't bad. Playing that one again, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And knock it out on European PlayStation again. And then switched over and did... Mochi Mochi Boy.
No, but real quick, I have a question about both Mochi Mochi Boy and Bouncy Bullets. How many Platinums are you getting from these?
These ones are just ones. I think I have the European accounts. I just haven't downloaded it yet. If you're, of course, unfamiliar with my obsession here and Rattalika being cool folks, they're so good at their games.
It says how many.
Oh, but that's overall. They don't see this.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can go. What you do is you have your rate. For me, my North American account. Then I have a bogus European account. That's a main account. Go to the European account, redeem the code, or buy the game. Download it to that system as its main system. Then go back to my North American account and play that one. So you can get two versions of the trophy. If it's got the Vita one on
sounds
there,
sounds like cheating to me.
What am I cheating? What am I cheating?
Well, it's an exploit.
For what? That's all right.
Having bigger
okay, it sounds like
well, have you gotten 100 unique platinums yet?
Oh God, no! Fuck no! Are you kidding me? Never gonna do that.
That's the point,
Kevin. You can just jump to the middle. This is Mochi Mochi Boy,
give me that.
And let me tell you,
yeah, this
man,
dumb.
This is go ahead and play it. This is Mochi Mochi Boy in action.
Okay.
Oh, just whenever you see it, what it is here. All it is these.
That literally, I thought you said there's platforming,
dude. That
no, that was that
blue.
Was that was the other one I was talking about. Bouncing bullets. This is Mochi Mochi Boy. Where you just go through and your idea is that as this little line, you go through and you collect all the hearts. Just go and you got to fill in every one of the squares that's available.
The old, you know.
Well, I think there's a little bit more to it, Fran. As you can see, he just got a treasure chest. You know what I mean? Come on now.
You're just avoiding the wood logs? Like that's.
Well, you're not even avoiding. You can't go through them. Well, you just got to figure out how to get every square on the board. Every available square, how do you get it?
Yeah, it's
and you
snake.
Go through and do it.
You're just a little mochi boy.
Exactly. You're just a little mochi mochi boy.
I mean, in Snake or whatever it was called, you just can't eat your tail. This is just avoiding.
Like, in Snake, if you touch yourself, you're dead. Like, see.
Yes, I just said that. All right.
No, just get every score on the board is what it is, as you can see from a top down view.
Yeah, yeah. Audio touch yourself, Kevin.
Just imagine a very, very simple game. If you got to where you couldn't complete the level, like if you get dead ended, you just have to restart.
Was it hard?
Oh no, I watched a PS4 trophies video. I had Brian from PS4 Trophies. His video was sitting there playing next to me, and then I just did exactly what he did. So it was very easy for me. But
why does it say time if there's nothing under it?
You know, who's to say? Who's to say how it is? There's an endless mode as well, I think.
Got it. Okay.
Or a random dungeon mode that has a time problem to it.
It's probably harder modes.
It is harder, well, but like, again, if you just restarted it enough, you'll eventually get the easy one. There you go.
Okay, why are we spending so much time on Mochi Mochi?
Because you wanted to sit here and scream that it was Snake over and over again. We were done. I was ready to move on, but here we are.
Talking about some real games here.
Yeah.
DC Universe Online.
DC
it's on Switch now.
Universe Online finally on Switch. Woo! Can you believe?
I can't.
8.5 years. 8.5 years after launching it on PlayStation 3 and PC, here we are with it on Switch, free to play. Let me tell you, like, it is a trip to turn this back on. If you're, I know it's like something that comes up casually in conversations, but if you didn't follow me, I guess back at IGN days or something, like when they were on Up at Noon in 2013, and I had 500 hours in it.
Jeez.
So that's, I would say I'll be conservative and say I'm at 750 or 800 hours in DC Universe in my lifetime, and it could be well over that. Somebody who played it really hard on PS3, really hard on PS4. On Switch, it drops, and, you know, first off, it was the what-the-fuck announcement of, like, coming out of left field.
So random.
That first, because it's, like, one of those games where, in no respect, disrespect to DC Universe Online, of course, it's one of those games where I think anybody, if you heard tomorrow they're closing down the servers, you'd be like, 8-year run. I respect it. Good job on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fact that they're bringing it to new platforms and the fact that jumping, first off, the excitement for Switch, it was the number one download for its day. Now, granted, it's a free-to-play game, so
still,
take what you want from it. But I saw our friends, but Snowmike Mike was streaming and other people were on it. And of course, I'm jumping ahead, but screwing around with it on Switch, I was like, man, I want to turn back on PlayStation 4. And I re-downloaded it and jumped back into PlayStation 4. Dozens of people on it, too. It's not like you're in there and the Justice League Watchtower's empty. But what a trip, Tim, to go back and play it, because you figure, conservatively, 750 hours, right? When's the last time I made a new character? When did I roll a new tune and do any of the introductory stuff, right? And so Switch is not cross-progression.
It's
a completely different server. You're not locked. You have none of your old shit, so you have to make new people.
Is that good or bad for you?
For me personally, I'd say it's bad. It's a little, it's combi. Here's what happened with Switch in a nutshell. Started playing it on Switch, right? Jump back in. I'm like, holy shit. First off, the game's dramatically different in terms of certain things. Other things are, you know, exactly how I left them, but so many new powers have been added, right? They're up to DLC episode 35, I think, right now. And like when they run up at noon, it was like they teased, I think, DLC 3. Like that. It's like how long ago that they've been working on this game. But new powers, new abilities, all stuff. So I rolled a new character. I made him a Green Lantern. I'm having a good time out there. There's new VO. There's new visuals. There's new all this different stuff. And it got to that point, though, where I'm like, all right, cool. Now I'm running the missions that are like, you know, your early level you up, get you gear, to train you, teach you stuff. And it was, man. Somebody wrote into Games Daily, and the question I don't think ever made the air, but like a video game addicts, like, do you suffer from video game addiction? All these different things. Like, and I'm like, I have pangs of it. You know, I can feel something like DC Universe Online for sure is my heroin. Where, like, playing it on Switch just for a little bit, I'm like, fuck, I'm going back in, aren't I? Fuck, I can't stop myself. And so it became this thing with me of, do I want to play it on Switch or do I want to go back on PlayStation 4? And the you know, rock and hard place I found myself in is, like, Switch, okay, cool. I'm in a lame outfit because I haven't unlocked the new stuff. And you have to, you know, grind out and get the cool gear and do all this different stuff. Fuck it, I'll just jump back to PlayStation 4. Jump back into PlayStation 4 and be like, fuck, 750 hours, what was I doing again? And like, how do you do certain things? And my inventory is all overfilled and my membership had lapsed, so I needed to make room and do all these different things. And so it's been this, fuck, this is really complicated. I'm gonna go back to and start in Switch. And I do some Switch stuff. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go back to PS4. And it's like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think I'm gonna come back hard on PlayStation 4 until Control, Blair Witch, Borderlands, that kind of thing at the end of the month. I think I'm gonna go that hard. That's my
weeks hope, Greg.
I know, but
how much time?
Yeah, well, trust me. We'll see. Yeah, you know what I mean? Once I fall in the rabbit hole.
Do you think there's a chance that they'll make cross progression happen?
I do. I think there is.
What would that do for you?
That'd be the biggest. Well, I mean, that's the craziest thing about it, right? Again, somebody's put so much hours in it. And I can't even express it enough, I guess, because think of your favorite PS3 game or whatever, your favorite even NES game. But to go back to that game and put hours, like real hours back into it and like, the music that I haven't heard in years, right? Of like that, just that music of when you're flying around Metropolis, like, holy shit, it's that thing again. You know what I mean? And Oracle talking to you, and like all these callbacks of just like, man, I remember this so vividly.
It's like visiting an old hometown.
Exactly. Like, but then to have it in my hand, like, you know, the power of the Switch, like we always joke around about, but like for real, of like coming home with it, popping it on the thing, Jen and Lucy want to watch something, I pop it off and I sit there and I'm just playing it. It runs well, you know what I mean? It looks good. Yeah, it doesn't look as good as PlayStation 4. It doesn't run as well as PlayStation 4 or PC for that matter. But it's good enough, right? And so if it was cross-play, then that would solve so many problems, right? Of like the thought of, oh, we're in Toronto next week. And it's like, man, it would be awesome to just have my Switch and be able to play it. But I have a feeling I'll be hooked on PlayStation 4, which means I'll drag the PlayStation 4 up there, right? And so like that's the joy of it if I could just have it over there. What do you got for me, Frank?
Joy-Cons.
Two questions. The first one that I've been thinking about was just like, wasn't there talk of the servers going offline at some point way back? And yeah. So has it? It's never gone offline?
It's never gone offline.
But
what you might be
it.
Thinking of is that they used to have it like, I remember, because again, this is an ancient game.
I know.
It launched as a regular old MMO where you bought the disc and then you had a subscription on top of it, right? Yep. And then it was that they had you in different servers. So for me in the old days, it was like, Taylor Swift is on whatever server Metropolis. Come play with me, and somebody like, oh, I'm on the Gotham City server. It's like, oh, that sucks. And what they eventually had done when the membership had dropped,
might have been
they went free to play, and they went, okay, everyone's on one server. Now there's no more. Hey, we have to worry about where you are.
Server consolidation.
Exactly.
Thing,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It never went offline.
No, it never
the
went
studio's
offline.
The studio's always been all right. There's been no like.
There was the thing where SOE became Daybreak. So I mean, might there was that concern, right?
And then didn't Daybreak do a layoff not that long ago?
Yeah, but it was. I think it was H1Z1's team, was right.
Gotcha. Okay, I was making sure it's been so it's has been playable. It's just been sitting there, but you were so far into the game. In other words,
it's the same thing that runs me with every one of these online service games that I get pulled in another direction. I got to go do something, and then it is
get
you come
into
back.
Destiny,
there was it's happened once where we were kind of funny already. where I went to go back into it, and I was like, cool, what have I missed? Okay, I've missed like 3 or 4 DLCs. Oh, this gear set looks awesome. All right, what is the currency I need? I started doing the math, and it was like, literally, I'd have to run all these missions like 90 times to get the currency. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? No, I can't do this. I can't do this with where we're at right now. Whereas right now, like, it seems like, and I'm, again, my toes being dipped in it, or, you know, as I slowly come back to it, and it's the fact that, first off, you can pay to get like a level bump for your CR to get thrown way ahead. And then even that, what I'm excited to do with it would be go and see the DLCs I missed, because they do tell a really interesting story, right, of like Earth 3 stuff. And they're doing Death and Return of Superman stuff. And there's all these cool DC narrative threads in there. I'd be more excited to tinker with that than get back so hardcore that I'm raiding every week and I'm going through and doing this, right? Like, mainly what I want right now is the PlayStation 4 character I've decided, Taylor Swift, of course, who's been with me the whole ride. They've since I was super into it, they've added light as a power, so like Green Lantern. I'm gonna make her a Green Lantern, and then I want her questing after the emblem for that. I want her to have a real Green Lantern suit, and then just run some of the episodic stuff I've missed. But I don't think I'm getting back into it to the extent of gonna be raiding, gonna you be doing this, time, gonna right? be. I know, right?
Just don't.
Too much stuff happened.
And then I was just gonna say, do you think it's a good candidate for Stadia? I mean, I guess it's one of those where you're like, well, of course.
I mean, at this point, it's gonna be on everything, right?
Is it something you could play with, because it's not on phone or anything yet, is it? Like, do you think you could play it with tap screen controls or not necessarily?
I mean, as well as you could play anything with any
Once you get used to it then,
yeah.
maybe, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess the hardest thing is, again, like, it's, again, traditional MMO, it's got that hot bar at the bottom. Like, what you're using shoulder buttons on this, whereas it'd be, you know, like,
oh, yeah, but that would actually be good as long as you have time to do those.
Well, that's the thing. Are you taking your finger off your sticks, your virtual sticks to go anything on your phone?
How do you do it on the Switch, like RB and LB?
Yeah, it's just like any other controller. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it would work fine on the Stadia controller, but you're talking literally about tap screen.
Yeah,
screen
I was just wondering if like it would be good in that format, but then I was just saying like that might also be like cross progression would be huge on all this, like Switch. Oh, yeah. Get it on Stadia, maybe it could be good for
and
the
I
community.
Think, and open it's it up. More, I guess, trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? And make everybody play nice. But again, it seems like that is something that's happening with people playing nice, and I don't know if they're eventually going to be like, and it's. Do they have the resources, the money, the interest to make a Daybreak account that I go and I link all my stuff to, similar to my Epic account? I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. How do they make money in the game?
Oh, it's all. I mean, it's free to play, but there's microtransactions out the wazoo.
But what type of stuff do you buy?
So I mean, like, you know, if you're free to play account, like you can play a whole bunch of stuff. There's boosters. There's loot boxes that are like a Shazam time capsules. There's the DLC itself that you can go through and get all the different episodes.
Right.
You can get Batman's emblem, the cow, like the costume parts. Cosmetic items like that.
Okay.
There's legends and PvP stuff that I've never ever fucked with in all my hours that you can go in and get as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but they sell a membership.
There's
that
things
is like,
that you haven't done in this game.
Oh, my God, of course. You kidding me? It's the same thing like Division. Like, I'm not going
to
go
they
do
just gotta
the
put
PvP
some,
part.
Attach some platinums to it, and then there you'll be.
Are you kidding me? You think I don't have the platinum?
No,
in this?
But I'm saying the stuff you haven't done, they should attach platinums to those things.
It's just adorable that you think you can go patch another platinum in. That's not how it works.
Idiot.
You know what I mean?
Andrea.
Yes, right.
Last week we talked a bit about Wolfenstein Youngblood, but you were not here.
That's true, I wasn't.
What are your thoughts on the game?
So I got to play co-op with Steimer, and we played to about level 20. How long did you guys play for?
Oh, I was only around level 10 or 11-ish, I think.
Okay.
So 4 or 5 hours, maybe. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. We were leveling pretty quickly, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel the need to use any of the microtransactions that people were all up in arms about. I didn't even look at them, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. So we were playing co-op, and it was fun. The things I like about the game is that it's got really fast, fluid first-person shooter mechanics, which you would expect from machine games, and what they've done with the Wolfenstein franchise so far. I believe they also worked a little bit with Arcane on this game as well. The graphics look great. Cutscenes look great. I really like these two characters. I think that they had a weird start, but now that we're in the story, I kind of like that they're having some development. I didn't like this idea that they were training to be Nazi killers because, you know, they're BJ's daughters, but then their first instance, they kind of have like this brief moment of imposter syndrome, and then they're like unsure of themselves, but that it's gone in a flash. And I'm like, why did you even have that moment?
Thank you.
Brian was saying the same thing.
That moment was done.
I said, what happened
to that moment?
So just... Yeah. Not to stick on it too long, but I said, didn't you think it was weird, Barrett, that they were like, she's like, I don't know. And it was all emotional lead up. She had a tear or something, right? And then the guy's head gets blown off. She's like, woohoo! And then I was like, What just happened?
It's weird. Yeah. Some of the dialogue choices feel a little forced. The constant, like, go get him, sis. You did it, sis. I'm so proud of you, sis. Yeah. Oh, you really rocked his socks off, sis. Like, wow. It's a lot.
That's how Tim and his brother Greg talk around the office.
It's true.
Come on, bro. Good job, bro.
One of my favorite things about Cool Greg today was someone tweeted some shit like, Cool Greg tweeted something promoting Concrete Genie or talking about Concrete Genie. And then someone quote tweeted and was like, oh man, Jen should have Cool Greg write the advertisements for the games or whatever, or adverts for the game. And Cool Greg replies, I don't even know what any of that means. It's like, no one understands you. It's great. Sorry.
I love it.
No, that's okay. So the co-op part of it, I think, really fun. Being able to go through the levels with a partner. It's very much the level design is clearly designed for co-op, which is obviously the reason why they made this a co-op game. I think the AI isn't so great at being able to figure out the pathing when you're doing co-op things. It's like the AI just kind of follows you around versus taking a separate path through the level, which I would have liked to see. But I don't obviously know anything about writing game AI. I've heard it's kind of complicated.
Yeah, the AI is not great. It's fair.
So I don't know what would have required. I do like that Bethesda has implemented a buddy pass system. What I like more, though, is that if you have two people that own the game outright, like Steimer and I each had our own codes that Bethesda provided for us, is that all of the progress I made when I was playing inside her game is when she was the host, I got to bring all of those coins and my progress back into my game. So I didn't have to go backwards. But you don't get that if you're using the buddy pass.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Right. Well, they say you can always keep your progress in your friend's game that you're buddies with, but you don't get to take your progress
only
with
you.
Only
if you own the game, though.
Yeah. Fair. Right. That was the caveat. If you own your own
that
copy
of the game.
That way it
keeps you playing with them, but yeah, it makes
sense. Exactly. So I get why they did it that way.
It's a free game.
But I liked that I got to earn all these coins. We're playing on normal difficulty, and I didn't feel a big push to actually spend my coins. I actually amassed almost 3,000 coins at one point before I was like, oh, why don't I pay to upgrade all of my guns? And so then I went in and upgraded the magazines and the scopes and things like that. But I never felt the push or the pushback from any of the enemies in order for me. I mean, yes, but I mean.
But I know what you mean. On normal, it just didn't seem to be. Yeah, I get you.
It should be a little bit more balanced.
Progression seemed to be missing almost.
Right. And so there's a lot about it that I'm kind of like a head scratch over some of the choices. I think their biggest problem in this game is that they did not make a comprehensive map system, and they wanted to implement an open world instance system. So you and your partner are running around, and all you have is this dinky little mini map. Yeah. And there's these markers, and like any mini map, if it's on one half of the mini map, you don't know if it's right next to you or if it's all the way across the other side of the map. You just need to go in that direction, but there's no large world map where you can look and see, oh well, we have to go here and here. And because they've added so much verticality in this Wolfenstein, we felt like we were just running up and down these levels looking for the marker for where we were supposed to go. And this has been a problem in Wolfenstein in all three of the games that Machine Games has made, is some of the pathing is just not intuitive and it's not clear, and the level design is not indicative of, oh, you should go down this hallway. And quite frankly, the exploration aspects of the open world elements didn't feel like they were worth going to explore.
Square room to square room to square.
Well, exactly. Almost. Then you get to a stash, and in the stash is just more coins, but then they lock out what you can upgrade until you hit a certain level. Mm-hmm. And so I got to a point where I was like, well, I don't really want to spend my coins upgrading this gun that I don't use. I don't use the machine pistol at all. And I got all the shotgun upgrades that I wanted. So now I'm just, running around to pick up coins that I'm just going to sit on until I can progress. It feels like it had so much potential to be a really cool idea, but it didn't quite come together. And that's a little frustrating because I really like what Machine Games has done with the other two Wolfensteins. And I think they really maybe shot themselves in the foot by making this more open world than it should have been.
Yeah, it seems a little rushed. That was where Barrett and I think land on it. We had similar issues, and it's funny, I didn't get into the difficulty thing, which I believe the normal mode just sounds like it's just not. It gets to a point where it doesn't push you anymore. And then you're like, I don't know. Well, I'm assuming if you switch to hard mode, then who knows? But sometimes you do that, right? But then it becomes frustrating and nobody wants to do that.
It's possible that they overcorrected, because my experience with the new Colossus was that baby ass baby mode was still incredibly difficult. And that when I was on normal or even attempt hard, I just got like spanked. And I just was not in for it. I was like, I want to feel powerful in a Wolfenstein game. Like, I like the fantasy of like the run and gun, and like I'm just like shooting guys left and right with these giant ass guns or whatever. Yeah. I don't want it to feel punishing. I want to have fun.
Yeah.
And so I dropped it down to easy first, and then we bumped it up to normal, and even normal felt easy. Right. And so we're going to bump it up again, but that's why I feel like they may be overcorrected in the difficulty.
Yeah.
And they need to kind of maybe find a happy medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you say, so playing it solo was not a fun experience. I wouldn't recommend it. And I think because of those issues, they tried to balance for multiple things. It's too hard on solo, but then I think when you throw in your co-op, it's too easy and whatever. It's just what I was going to say, because we already talked about it last week, was I think there's some things in there, like it's all right if you like Wolfenstein, but I don't think it does Wolfenstein the justice that it should have. And I think was almost what you said, like, proper sequel, I think we're all excited about. But this, like, spinoff, like, some interesting ideas in there, but, like, it just didn't quite come together.
It just, it feels like there's this race to find your dad who's been captured, or he's gone, or we don't know what's happened to BJ, and you're running around Paris killing Nazis, and then you have a mission, and it's, like, mission critical that you go rescue this doctor who's about to be tortured by these Nazis, and then, like, a little side mission will be like, oh, I need you to go plant a microphone in this room on the other side of the map so I can listen in. But you're like, I have this, like, critical mission where I'm gonna go save this doctor over here. What do you mean you want me to go like plant a microphone in the middle of this mission? And it just felt a little disjointed, which was disappointing, because I thought Machine Games has done such an excellent narrative job with this franchise, and so I was just like a little bit like let down. But it looks beautiful. Maybe pick it up on clearance. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, again,
it's
I
already
think
cheap.
What
we were talking about last.
It's already
time, right?
$30, I believe.
And you see, if you do the buddy pass thing, so you split it with a friend, $15 a piece.
Yeah.
No, to get the buddy pass, it's $10 more. It's $39.99 for the deluxe edition, I believe.
Oh, you only get the buddy pass.
And then the $29.99 one is the base version, which you're going to play it at all and you're going to play with somebody, I would recommend you each getting it so you can take your progress. So if you want to play a little bit by yourself, you don't lose all of the progress you've done.
Yep.
But if you're like, I have no interest, but a friend has convinced you, then take advantage of the buddy pass.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Hims. If you haven't heard about Hims, you haven't been listening to this show. We've been talking about it forever. We got Nick, we got Andy. They've been using it for a very long time. They've been loving the results. Summertime is here. While you may be breaking out that baseball cap for a day at the beach or at the ballpark, if you're wearing it to hide thinning hair, you may not have to anymore. Don't sweat hair loss this summer. Do something now while you still can. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, but that's because a lot of them, they're not doing anything. They're not being proactive. You can be proactive using 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. These are well-known generic equivalents to brand-name prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. You just answer a couple questions, and then next thing you know, you're getting what you need. Our products are shipped directly to your door. Listeners, you guys can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. You can see the website for full details and safety information. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to Let me take that step back. Go to 4hims.com/kinda. That's forhims.com/kinda. 4hims.com/kinda. Now, I want to do something fun.
Uh-oh.
We got a topic of the show.
Tots, we got a fun thing.
Oh,
we haven't done one of these in a while.
It's been a while, and I've been wanting to do it. There's been a lot going on, and so like planning these things have been hard. But I had this for a while that I've been waiting to for the right moment. I feel like with the four of us here, that moment is now.
Yeah.
I found an article that is just 50 fun questions about video games to ask your friends.
Okay.
Let's do it.
And it's a lot of questions. That's a 50. I don't know if we'll get through them all, but I had the idea because looking through these, they're pretty basic questions, most of them at least.
Okay. Are they like rapid fire questions?
But that's clear your mind, and I just want to go around the table it's and possible. Just...
Are you doing one a piece, or is it like question one, and we go... Duh, 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 or is it
question going? One and go around.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say the question. We'll start with you.
Sure.
And we'll go like that. And the idea is...
Just swing it back and forth.
I'm going to fail so hard.
That way I get... If I have no time the first time, Fran has no time the next time.
Like snake style.
Brr, brr, Jesus. Brr, brr.
Fran.
Okay. What would help is if you ask a question,
I'm always in the middle, but I don't care. I can handle it.
Say, hey, guys, here's my question. Is about Greg, Andrew, Fran, if we're getting confused, if you could just tell us to go.
We'll just see how this goes.
I believe in you, Tim. You can do this.
Yeah. I mean, we also don't need to, like,
overthink it.
That fast.
We could have been through five questions.
There's no winning or losing, so.
Raccoons!
The idea is so just like whatever your gut, your first answer. Okay. Got it. Be the best answer.
Okay, so don't lie. Just think, and even if, clear your mind, Fran. And
that's
even,
impossible, but I'm
even if
here.
You hear something like that would have been a better answer, you stick with that first answer, right, Fran? I only give you the instructions because you're the only one I don't trust at the table.
Why are you looking at me What's like up? I'm going to be a problem? I will be. Okay.
All right, let's just go. This is from levelskip.com.
That's fake. You're just reading
from someone named Poppy.
Poppy at levelskip.com.
Poppy lives near Tokyo and likes to read novels and play video games, especially fantasy RPGs. So you can check this out on levelskip.com. Let's go number one. What's your favorite game of all time?
Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Mass Effect 2.
What?
Mass Effect 2. Oh.
Super Metroid.
Super Smash Brothers.
I was supposed to say God of War, remember? Yeah. I fucked it up. I cleared my mind. I was too clear.
You cleared it, though, dude.
Sorry, Corey.
What's a game you thought you'd like, but actually hated?
Hated?
Here we go.
This one's tough.
Halo 5.
I mean, yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2, if we can skip the jolly purple giant over here. He's not answering the questions, you know what I mean?
Devil May Cry 2.
Oh, I was supposed to go first.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be me going first, then?
Yeah, if you're playing, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Devil May Cry 2.
Okay, Fran, go.
I really don't have a gut reaction.
Just say arcade card double dash.
No.
You lying turd.
Hated, though? Hate is such a strong word I can't.
Okay,
sure, we'll go with double dash. Fine. I didn't hate it.
Son of a bitch,
I
knew it. I
don't hate many things. That's a tough question for me. Hate.
What's a really popular game that everyone seems to love but you don't like?
Fortnite.
Mass Effect 1.
Battle Royale, I mean, be clear. Fortnite Battle Royale. I like Save the World.
Tim, what's yours? Because Fran's never going to answer.
Tekken?
Hey, all right. Huh.
What? I would say Counter-Strike. I can't wrap my head around it.
I like a lot of games.
Counter-Strike?
Yeah,
what's hard? The buying system and all that stuff. It's just like, it's such a simple game, and then for some reason, that stuff's way too complex for me. Don't like
it's
that.
It's funny,
All right, Tim, you're starting this one.
Yes.
This question needs to be less about hate.
What game have you spent the most amount of hours
imagine
on?
You said don't like.
Smash Brothers Brawl.
Destiny.
Destiny.
DC Universe Online.
If you had to marry the last video game character you played, who would it be?
Taylor Swift in DC Universe Online, I guess.
Can you repeat the question?
If you had to marry the last video game character you played, who would it be?
I think it's saying recently.
What's the last game you played? That's person. You're a Blaskowitz twin.
I guess I would be marrying Jess Blaskowitz, but I'm not into that.
I was maybe going to go with Jess, yeah. But otherwise, I was going to say one of those creative characters from Code Vein. Oh, yeah.
Did you just play Code Vein? Was the last game
Code
you played?
I mean,
the
technical is amazing.
Yeah, the technical whatever. This was like a month ago.
So. That's not the question, Fran.
Literally, you want me to... So, Anthem, I played that last night. Yeah, so that's
Mary
the
Javelin. There you go. What's so hard about this?
Oh, I did like... I forget what her name was, but it's one of the characters.
You don't have to like them. You don't have to like them. Neither of you had to like them.
It's like when you're running for president. What's your campaign slogan's the last text you sent? Yeah. You don't dig back for 2 months old text.
It was the way that question was written.
No, it's the way your brain works.
All right.
So mine would be Hero from Dragon Quest. If you had to live in the world of the last game you played, what world would it be?
See, that doesn't make sense.
No, what's the last fucking game you played? That's the
that question answers
in.
Itself. If you had to live in Anthem, which you played last, what world would you live in? Is that the question?
Yes, it is. Anthem. It's that simple.
Yeah, Metropolis.
I can't do
Metropolis,
this.
Be awesome.
I would live in the tower. I played Destiny last, technically.
Oh, yeah. Where in there?
Smash Brothers guitar. I don't know.
You're living in the hand.
Living in, yeah. Bastion the final destination. Is the world. Have you ever had a crush on a video game character?
Okay, yeah, so sure. Now think about it.
Give an answer if you have an answer. Riku, Final
Fantasy. I think growing up, right?
Oh, yeah,
probably what, like Lara Croft, I would assume, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Dragon Age. Here comes Witcher.
Listen, Linda. Mass Effect's my thing, okay? Dragon Age is Brittany's thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like Jacob in Mass Effect 2.
There we go.
Samus.
What was the first game you
Did you answer to?
Yeah, Riku. Final Fantasy Time. Never forget. What was the first game you ever remember playing?
Ghostbusters on the Sega Master System.
That you ever remember playing?
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers on the NES.
Wahoo! It was Pong on, I think, Atari or ColecoVision. With the actual tennis paddles and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, some friends brought it over to the farmhouse that we lived in at the time.
Mine was this game called Jumpman on the Commodore 64. No relation, yeah, no relation to the other Jumpman.
Okay.
And this Jumpman game sucked.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever pretended to be sick to get out of something so you could play a game?
1,000%.
Never.
1,000,000%.
Yes, absolutely.
Never have.
I remember faking.
That's why I'm the busiest lady in the business.
My first job, I remember I was working at Petland, I stayed home to play WWF Attitude on PS1 when we got it. And it was, I guess that's right. Yeah. Anyways. Was WWF Attitude on PS1 or was it
N64?
That was N64.
Yeah. Even when you were young, you're busiest lady in the business now, but you weren't always in the business.
Oh, I was worse when I was young. I honestly look back at my high school years and go, why didn't I ditch class more?
Wow, you're one of those people.
I skipped a calculus test to play Ocarina of Time, and it was the best choice ever. I pulled all the drapes.
See,
claws.
I wish I would have.
Amazing.
I wish I could tell my younger self now, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
I was on the way to the test, and I was like, nope. I took the exit to the mall and waited for it to open.
Nice.
What game did you last complete?
Complete? Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. I just rolled credits on something,
Ultimate Alliance 3?
Yeah. I guess mine must be Custom Racing.
Giant? Ghost Giant on PSVR for the PSVR
Kingdom
VR
Rush
show.
Vengeance. That's what it was.
Sea of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to that still.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Oddly, it might be Anthem because I don't finish anything else.
What game are you playing right now? Whatever. We just
spent
a whole
that. We spent a 45 time.
Minutes
whole
on that. What game do you want to play next?
That's an interesting question. I want to play Borderlands next. There'll be 1,000,000 games I play before then. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Is that answers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely Borderlands 3 for me too.
Whoop, whoop.
I gotta go with Shadowkeep, Destiny 2, Shadowkeep. I'm just excited.
Mm. Luigi's Mansion 3, baby.
Oh yeah.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Control. I want to play that.
Yeah,
that's at
me
first.
Too. Me too. But I think my hype for Borderlands is just in front of it.
Oh, my hype is definitely way above.
In your opinion, what is the best games console?
Of all time?
It's your gut, man. It's your gut. Go with it.
N64.
Get out of here.
You get out of here.
No way.
The best game console of all time.
I'm
going with actually the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, you are. Woo!
PlayStation Portable.
Choice.
If you know, you know.
I love you because that was going to be my answer too.
Yeah.
I leaned back trying to talk myself out of the PSP and I can't
do it.
That's
the answer,
dude.
Emulators, baby. My first gut, I was like super Nintendo, but I'm like, let's be honest, people. PlayStation 4 has been an incredible.
PlayStation 4 is awesome.
I picked N64 because it was that jump amazing. From 16 to 64-bit was like a really pivotal moment in console gaming.
N64 is amazing. GameCube actually had an amazing library if you gave it a chance to. Anyway.
Yeah, but the N64, I mean, I love it.
Old
the
game's
best,
old.
It's not even that. Just, there's not
Wait,
that many of
choice?
Them. PlayStation Portable.
It was at a very pivotal time where there was a lot of innovation happening. You think about what they did with GoldenEye specifically and what that did for first-person shooters. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's another conversation for another time.
Mm-hmm. So sentimental.
Are PC gamers really superior to console players?
Ew. Yes.
Gamers are the platform.
It says gamers, so I'm going to say no.
No gamer is superior to another gamer, except maybe Fatality, the one who started esports.
Right.
But PC gaming, superior to console. Yeah.
What's your opinion on Fortnite?
I'm pro Fortnite.
I like Save the World mode. I've never been able to get into Battle Royale, whether it be Fortnite or, you know, Battlegrounds or whatever else.
I think it's amazing that a game could be that
innovative.
It's
exactly. Awesome. It's an amazing accomplishment. And
The way they keep it fresh.
Fantastic.
I looked at it yesterday and they have like robots that people are in.
The new season's crazy.
Yeah, we know. We talk about innovation and the way that they continue to build on that as a platform and what they've done with creative mode, I think is wonderful. I think they've taken like the zeitgeist that Minecraft really started with this younger community and giving people a platform and then said, we're going to also add this competitive element that's going to appeal to literally a gamer of any age.
Yeah, and they're live.
I think it's genius.
They're live events, bar none. Nobody's touching that right now, and it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever watched a Twitch stream? Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever streamed yourself on Twitch or YouTube?
Yes.
Yes.
What's up, guys?
/FM3_
Have you ever used a walkthrough?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What's the best weapon you've ever used in a game?
Man, Dead Rising Mega Man's cannon.
I don't know if like I really think the Leviathan axe is the answer.
Oh, that's a really good answer.
Oh, that was
where I was
answer.
Going with mine.
It's so good.
I feel like Ratchet and Clank had some really good weapons.
Oh, they got great ones.
The it has to be a weapon. It's a weapon, you
Mr. Voltron. That's the question.
Well,
yeah.
I'm gonna put it because you can use it as a weapon. Is the Morph Ball in Metroid Prime? Because you could do it was puzzle based, but you also would take down certain things with it.
That's not
so
bad.
I'm gonna cheat the system. But the axe is made.
It's so hard because like you say the Leviathan axe. I actually thought the Blades of Chaos in the new God of War were better.
I like the axe.
I love those too.
Axe and shield.
Fucking good. Have you ever had to stop playing a game because it was too scary?
No.
I don't fuck around with scary
games.
Oh, yes.
Outlast. I was like, I ain't fucking with this anymore.
Fatal Frame 2.
No.
I came back eventually and I conquered it, but fuck, I had to stop.
The amount of times I've looked at the box for Fatal Frame and been like, fuck this.
Yeah, Fatal Frame 2 sucks.
You need to play more scary games.
Did, Dad. Has a game storyline ever made you cry?
Yes.
Yes.
What's this?
I honestly don't think it has. I've gotten a little like emotional,
heartless.
But never crying? No.
That's right, you tough guy.
I am heartless.
Look at me, stuff, tough.
Cold, dead heart.
Dead
What's your favorite fighting class? Warrior, mage, or rogue, and why? No, forget the why.
Mage. I always go magic.
Rogue.
I love magic.
Warrior. Mage.
Warrior.
Mage.
What's your favorite game genre?
Third person action.
Toss up between action, adventure, and FPS.
Whatever you want to call God of War, the new one. So
Third person action.
Meant to be a joke that that's like the pinnacle.
Third person action.
Action adventure. Yeah.
Stealth as well.
What about Assassin's Creed?
Action adventure.
Basically, it's the the Zelda God of War style games.
Platinum or rhythm, one of the two. Do you prefer multiplayer games or solo?
Solo.
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 What are you gonna say, Fran?
Actually do prefer solo. It's just I play so much Destiny.
But now
like,
you're famous for multiplayer.
Famous, all right.
Do you prefer co-op or player versus player?
Co-op.
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 Tim?
PvP.
Really?
I mean, multiplayer. I'd rather competitive.
Smash.
If you rephrase this competitive versus co-op, then competitive. What's the first console you ever owned?
NES.
Sega Master System.
Super Nintendo.
NES.
Oh, that I owned myself.
Wait, you mean like that we bought for ourselves?
Yeah, you must
or
mean
that
you bought.
When we were kids,
sorry,
our
your
first
parents
console.
Or you owning yourself?
I would do both.
No, your parent, like if you got it as a gift, it counts as you owning it.
Let's answer the
do
other
both.
One then.
So yeah, fine. Do both.
The first, it was like ColecoVision or Atari that whatever I got back then. But what was the first one you paid for and owned?
360.
PlayStation 2.
PSP. March 23rd.
Never forget.
Never forget.
I think it was GameCube, believe it or not.
Man, the first one I bought was a Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
GameCube.
Robots. What got you into video games in the first place?
My dad.
I don't even think I have an answer. It was life.
Garage sales.
I just went over to my
friend's
place who got Mario and Duck Hunt for Christmas, and I was like blown away.
Did they have the gun?
Then I just couldn't
stop.
Yeah,
you had to have the gun.
Why did you have the gun? Shut up.
If you're playing Duck Hunt, you're playing it with the gun.
Leave him alone.
I mean, can you not play without the gun?
You can't. Yeah, you had to have the gun. It's all good.
Nope. Did you have to have the gun?
It's not all good, Fred. Yeah. Don't let him slide.
All right, every once in a while. You know, the power of nice.
I don't know.
He's a millennial. He doesn't get it, Fred.
It came in one cartridge, right?
It came with a shoebox with a bunch of shit at a garage sale.
Did anyone ever do this where...
Wasn't that a packing?
That you could buy the NES with Duck Hunt and Mario all in one with the gun all in one packet.
Cool.
It was all in one.
My little brother has that... A packet of that he bought at a garage sale.
Yeah, probably.
Or it's still like wrapped up.
Anyway, what else?
What's the longest gaming marathon you ever did?
I think I did 15 hours of Destiny 2 when it first came out.
Damn.
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Ooh, this
Halo
no,
2.
No. I definitely had a longer session with Skyrim over Christmas break, like 2013.
More than 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That in one sitting?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, man.
Mm-hmm. I remember because I got up, I stopped playing, I started playing early in the morning, and then I didn't stop until it was on Black Friday, actually. And I stopped at like 4:30 in the morning to go do Black Friday shopping.
Does it count if you like if you then go to sleep and then do another like 12 hours?
No.
No. One consecutive. Yeah, mine recently probably was. I was doing the recent raid race for Destiny, and it was like 18 hours. But I do remember as a kid, I was playing. There's several games: GoldenEye, Final Fantasy VII, and I think it was Secret of Mana. Even I just remember we had like sleepovers, or the parents were like, I don't know where they were to allow us to start like in the afternoon. We just went like overnight, like into the next morning, and it was a long time.
Yeah,
but definitely Destiny, and it was pain, like physically painful.
Yeah, for me, definitely. It was Halo 2. Me, Kern, and Alfredo beat it in one sitting.
Nice. With
all of us in my living room. And I, if I remember correctly, Halo 2 was only two-player co-op. So, like, two of us were playing on one Xbox, yeah, and then someone else was playing their own thing on another. Yeah. But we were all in the same room. That's and awesome. We beat it in one sitting. And then we called out sick to school the next day.
Awesome. Yeah, for me, I think, yeah. I mean, I'm not kind of like Extra Life or anything like that. I would go with... even though I don't think I've played anything 24 hours straight, actually. NCAA football. I finally convinced Poe to buy a PS2, and he picked it up from the EB at the mall, Hawks Boutique at the time. And then we went back to my house, busted out the card table from the utility room, and I brought my TV down from downstairs, this little fucking CRT, and we played next to each other. And then when we were playing the season, whoever would get to their game with their rival or the bowl game would get the big TV. Like, we'd stop playing and switch them back out and go like that. And I remember walking him out in the morning and the sun was coming up, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
If video games didn't exist anymore, what would you do?
Fuck. I would probably host about TV and movies or food.
Yeah, I mean, not the food part, but definitely more.
You eat food.
I do eat food.
Yeah.
I don't make videos about food.
Yeah. Play guitar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel
you
like
mean like as a hobby?
Well, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, if the answer was professionally, is that what we mean?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, maybe. I wouldn't write that off.
If you count this as professional.
No, I wouldn't write that off. Play guitar. but boy, outside, I don't know. I interpret the question to be
what if video games didn't exist, period. Like in my start. Well, I think I would still be a journalist then. I would just be working at a newspaper.
I'd probably be very well read.
Yeah, I'd probably be like local news somewhere. Like most of the people I graduated with, like in some local market doing the nightly news.
Back at Fargo?
Yeah. That question is hard because
it's
obviously
my dad's dream. Yeah. He's like, hey, kiddo, so just come home and anchor the news. And I'm like, no.
But
dad.
No, like meaning now the easy answer is, I would just be a video producer, which I am. You know, that is what I do. But without video
games
starting.
That's why it's cheating, I feel. That's why I roll my back. Because like right now, if this went away, what would you do? Oh, would you just do all the stuff we do on Kind of Funny? Just not the game part.
Yeah, see, that's what would be my argument is that would have never happened.
Exactly.
You wouldn't even be in video.
That's why I'm saying I would go back.
You went to school for journalism and did you could have even argued you end up there because of video games and sports.
100%. 100%.
Anyway, that's
thanks, Kevin, for listening to my content.
That's an interesting question. I like that one.
What's your favorite song from a game?
Oh, man.
It's gut answers. It's gut answers.
Yeah, I was going to say the Metal Gear theme.
Oh,
goddamn,
Tetris.
That's a good one.
Tetris.
Good song.
For me, it's the Mass Effect theme for sure.
It's Mass Effect. Andromeda Drifts in Metroid Prime is the one that comes to mind.
Though there is
very
a song,
cool like digital
there's a song
beat.
In Darksiders.
Too late.
There's a million songs, obviously, I love, but the two that come to my mind immediately were Metal Gear Solid 2 theme specifically, with the end with the like the little drum line shit, so fucking dope. But also Superman by Goldfinger. In Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Walkie Talkie Man.
I'm just telling you, that was definitely the first thing that came to my mind.
Ah, that's a great song.
Have you ever wanted to live in a world from a game? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No.
I hadn't thought about it beyond that.
The Simpsons world always looked really cool.
Which video game character do you most wish you were like?
Which what?
Video game character do you most wish you were like? Nathan Drake's cool.
That was my first.
Yeah, I feel
one.
Like Superman's a cop out, but like so like then it would like default to like somebody like Drake, right? Mm. Lee Everett's pretty cool. Lee Way I played him.
I'd be I'd be like Lara Croft. She seems pretty badass.
Yeah, she is.
Where the fuck are we?
I mean,
what's a game that,
better, but
what game did you spend the most amount of money on?
Definitely Destiny. Bought way too much silver.
Even more than that Paragon game that you always
talked
about?
I spent a lot of money on Paragon. I actually probably almost spent more hours in Paragon than I did in Destiny, but I've probably spent
Did you get some money back from Paragon or no?
Sort of. So the way that it worked is that they had a disc for, at one point, and then the disc came with $60 of in-game credits. But then eventually the discs went on sale, and so if you caught them in like the clearance bin at like a GameStop for like $20 or $40, you could still get the code inside for $60.
You're making your money.
And so I had like 7 Paragon discs at one point because I was cheesing that a lot. But I still spent more of my raw money in Destiny 2. I've probably bought hundreds of dollars worth of silver in Destiny.
I think for me, it would have to be Final Fantasy X because I bought the game, I bought it again on Vita, and I bought it again on PlayStation 4.
Oh, interesting.
And I bought the strategy guide, which was very expensive. It was like $30 back in the day.
So yeah.
So added that stuff together, it's probably that. Smash would probably be number two with the core price of the game plus DLC plus
controllers.
GameCube controllers for the Wii U plus the adapter thing. I know, but like the adapter only worked with Smash.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I mean, not counting hardware, I have all the Destiny collector's editions, which are hundreds of dollars too.
Oh, shit.
I had like 6 Destiny discs too. It was bad. I have a problem.
It probably for me would be, again, boring DC Universe Online. And not even like microtransactions as much as when they introduced that, like, the year-long subscription for $120. I was like, yep. And then I just let it renew, and I let it go for a long time because even when I wasn't playing, I was like, I've gotten my hours out of this game, and I want to contribute, and I want to be able to go back and have all my stuff be there. That's why I was kind of shocked this week when I went back and it had like lapsed, because I guess my credit card, when the Virgin America credit card went out of business, I never flipped it on PSN for them or whatever.
Mine was, Fortnite, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I was on that grind for a while. At least a whole year, I was just buying it. And streamed entertainment, the fun entertainment, I was constantly getting. That stuff was expensive. I mean, the good stuff was like $20. So it went up fast.
Who do you usually choose as your fighter in Smash Brothers and Soul Calibur?
Oh, I think that's a fair question.
Not applicable.
Sofitia and...
Oh, see, damn.
Sofitia, absolutely. And then... for Smash, well, Princess Peach.
Soul Calibur, for me, was Cassandra.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Sofita's daughter?
Is that, I don't know. I don't know lore.
And I think she debuted in 2, which is why I'm familiar, because everyone played 2 because Link. Smash is, I'd say Zero Suit.
Zero Suit Samus?
Yeah. What was the question?
So
your main in Smash and Soul Calibur.
Oh, okay, yeah. Blue Tunic Link is my main in Smash. Now Young Link in the new one, in Soul Calibur.
That's a good choice. Soul Calibur never got into.
No.
Say Killick. Everybody would, because he had the bow. People loved Killick.
Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Which generation?
Choose one. It just says Xbox or PlayStation.
These questions.
Choose the brand.
I'd be remiss to not say PlayStation again, considering I said it was the best console of all time.
Yeah, you did. Woo!
Yeah, I'd go PlayStation.
All right, 100%.
Consistent.
They are.
What's an obscure game from your childhood? What's the first thing that comes
Legend
to
of Crandia.
Faxanadu.
Ghost House.
Ness.
That's not
obscure.
That's okay. He's
but I'm
millennial.
Saying it's fucking random. Like,
let him
it's not
be.
Something.
Paperboy is like one of the best.
All right, let
it's
him
good
be.
Good answer. One of the best what?
One of the
it's
best.
Very, it's not obscure.
One of the best what?
One of the best games
it's
on
an
that system.
Ness system. It's a very popular game.
Paperboy.
Too.
Yeah.
Paperboy sucks.
Paperboy's all not right. One of the best anything.
I
one of the best games on the Nintendo?
My favorite game.
To be fair, because I was trying to let this ride, but to jump in, it's not obscure. I think you should pick again. You said obscure, didn't you?
Here's the thing. I made up a fucking question. It's not even on the list.
It's your question. Well, then he can say whatever he wants.
Like, but that's
also, why are you so upset? Why are you so mad?
Paperboy's not good. First off,
Paperboy is great.
That has nothing to do with obscurity.
Paperboy is such a fucking kick in the head.
Even Faxanadu is not that obscure, because I was going to say Amagorn, which, by the way, you should look up, but like an acorn will fall from a tree and kill you, and it's the most frustrating thing, a NES game. But obscure was, I felt, the important part of it.
Who made Paperboy?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember who made a lot of those games.
Obscure.
That doesn't
make it. You know who made
obscure.
All these others.
I feel like
the games
name
that
an
obscure.
Obscure developer.
Corey Barlog. That was his,
name an obscure
it was Corey's
developer.
First game.
Midway. The answer was Midway.
They're not
was
obscure it? Either.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
Probably because it was in arcade.
Damn, dude, calm down. Listen to that Taylor Swift.
I take Paperboy real serious, guys.
It's very
bad game.
It's not obscure.
It's not
it's, bad. Was a good
are you
game.
Joking right now? You think it's
first off, Paperboy is a bad game.
It's not a bad
no,
game.
In its time, it was fine.
You really don't like
it. In its time, it was just, yeah, kick in the face.
It was an arcade game originally, right?
Yeah.
I loved Paperboy.
It's a great game that we grew up with, Tim.
It's a game that we grew up with.
Oh, God, here
it
we go.
It was one of the games we played all the time.
True.
At the box.
There
it's
you
not
go.
A great
it,
game.
You came back to it.
All the time.
Are there any games that you're really bad at? Yes.
So many.
Yeah.
So
are you kidding me?
A lot.
Destiny. Rhythm.
Have you ever seen somebody get really angry when they lose? No. Yes.
Yes. Right now. Hello. You, have you with that question?
I didn't lose.
Did you see me on the Extra Life stream?
did I get really? Can I tell this so really fast? Did I ever tell this? It's super fast. I was playing Street Fighter. My brother played a lot. Friends. Finally got to the point I convinced my mom to get me the joystick and huge, you know, set it on your lap controller, arcade buttons and everything. And she decided she wanted to play and she beat me. And I was got so mad I pushed her off the edge. She was sitting on the arm of the couch on the edge, you know, and I was
still
like
in a wheelchair.
And my friends were there and I was just a little kid. I pushed her off the edge. And man, the look she had in her eyes.
She was like, and that's the end of video games.
This thing, you know, and I ran and locked myself in my room. And she's like, she was laughing. She's like, yeah, you better stay in there because you are going to like, when you come out of there. Oh, I will never forget that.
Francis Michael I had a bit of a temper.
Yeah, I had a temper when I was a little kid. I didn't like, you know, hit my parents, but that was just a moment of very bad decision.
What's your favorite game series of all time?
Metal Gear.
Mario.
All time, first gut was Metroid still. I'm just waiting for what's new, but Zelda would just be sort of the consistent, you know.
Dude, love. I don't even know if I can answer this question.
Metal Gear.
Assassin's Creed.
Oh, wow. That's really good. That's an excellent choice.
I'm going to say Uncharted. I can make an argument for it, but I feel like Uncharted, the quality never drops or dips or.
Yeah. There's fewer, though, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have given 3 a 10, but that's a different discussion.
What was that?
What's more important?
Maybe Roper should have given 2 a 10, and then it wouldn't be a problem.
2 should have got the 10 and not 3 anyway.
They both are really good.
Yeah, but 2 is better than 3. No.
What's more important, action or story?
Story.
Action.
Action.
Yeah, here's the thing. I never finished Metal Gear Solid 5.
Action.
Look at Monster Hunter World. You know? Amazing action.
4,
shit story.
I finished for sure.
It's a new world. We gotta figure out how these.
Yeah, very rarely can an amazing story dig you out of a poor gameplay action.
So few games have amazing stories.
Not poor. I'm just saying. Yeah, like,
Is there?
Matters more.
Watch a movie. I'm here to play games.
See, there's some of these questions are like just the same things.
Yeah, some of these.
Would you rather have loads of time to play games, but only be able to buy 2 games a year, or be able to buy loads of games, but never have time to play them?
That's like the story of all of our lives right now.
Yeah, let's take the word buy out.
The two games a year that I have loads of time to play.
Yeah, me too.
In a perfect world, I mean, like job, take it out of the picture or whatever, I would rather have the 2 games than unlimited time.
Same.
Yeah.
Because they have a bunch of games that you barely touch, and it's a waste.
It's so depressing when we fall in love with a game, like you guys with any of them, me with Division and DC. Of like, I remember talking about it on the old days of like Beyond or whatever. Like, if I didn't have this job, I would have stopped buying games and just be playing DC every night and being raiding and doing this.
There's a satisfaction that comes with mastering something and being at the top of your game, knowing that you put hours and hours and hours into it, and it's like a comfort level of going like, I did that thing and I made that accomplishment, and feeling really proficient. And you just can't get that if you're constantly jumping in and out of new experiences. You can't master the mechanics.
Yeah, what would the 2 games be right now? Can we ask that? Because I think for me, my first gut reaction was Smash Brothers and Destiny, even though I don't have time to play Smash. That would give me the 2 world. I'd be like, oh, I'd have so much time to play these. You guys have 2 that stick out right now?
I mean, it would be Destiny and Borderlands for me.
Yeah, that's the depressing thing, is I feel like it would slide around, right? Like, I would say DC right now, obviously.
Now, yeah.
And
you gotta
Borderlands
pick, like, the whole year. The next 365 days, if you had to bet.
Well, why not do it for last year?
See what I mean? Because it's got to be a full year before you switch.
For this year, knowing what we do of the quality games, I'd put Fire Emblem 3 Houses as one of those. There's a lot of content there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go Smash.
You're going to say Smash Bros.
I have to. Yeah.
What about Mario Maker? No? That
one? I'd still go
Smash. I know that's one of Andy's.
Yeah. Would you give up video games for life and receive $500,000 in cash, or would you refuse the money?
Refuse.
I refuse.
Wait, does this remove our careers?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could be on the show and be like, I played nothing.
Meaning, like, I'm not. Yeah, like, you need to do that to make money.
In 2019, $500,000 does not go as far as you think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of my career, I absolutely would not do that.
Even if, take your career
without
out of
the
it.
Career?
Give maybe. Up video games for $500K?
Maybe. Just a flat, here's $500,000 and give them up.
You never play games again?
I mean, that's tough.
I'll start a fucking GoFundMe right now. Like I said, I play some right guitar, you know? I changed my industry. Life.
Wait. Is it taxed?
Railroad him out.
Is it taxed?
Oh, my God. If it's taxed, ladies and gentlemen, no. This has been the Kind of Funny Games cast.
I'm winning. You're a monster. 50%.
You're a monster. We love you guys. It's now time for the post show.
People now hate you. Let's do it.